Testing 1, 2.
Okay. Well, good evening, everybody.
Yeah.
Are you blessed?
Yeah.
Did you enjoy the worship?
Yeah.
Give the Lord a big hand, please. Amen. Well, praise God. Okay. We have some people that have asked if they can testify. So, Mr. Bean, you have something to testify about. Amen. Amen. And we sometimes refer to him as Mr. Bean because he's always making jokes and doing funny things. And when I just called him Mr. Bean, I was thinking of that one where Mr. Bean met the Queen. I don't know if you ever saw that. And he was struggling with his zip and his pinky was hanging out. And then when he was trying to cover up, he tried to bow before the Queen and he ended up headbutting her. You're not going to do that, are you? All right. Anyway, would you like to share something?
Good evening. This last past 2 months, I was without working. And you know, in this country, this time of the year is very, very difficult to get something, no? And this week, Monday, I went to a garage to see if they could help me with a diagnostic machine to find a problem in my car. And the guy, he find the problem in my car, and then I take it. And I asked him if I could make a service, if he could make a service in my car, because at the moment, I don't have tools and the place to do it. And he said, look, if you want, you can come here and you do it yourself. I said, no problem. I'll come tomorrow. Then he's asking, are you very busy? He said, no, at the moment, actually, I'm not doing that. He said, don't you want to come help me because I've got a lot of work? I said, look, I appreciate that. I go home, I will fetch the overalls, and I say, please, because I've got a lot of work. That was on Monday. But it's amazing how God works. Wednesday afternoon when I left work, I saw a missed call on my phone. Then I saw it was a landline. That time was too late to phone. And the following day I phoned, and the lady that she wants me to phone, I asked, sorry, ma'am, good morning. I've got a missing call from this number. Whose company this? She says to me, so-and-so transport. It's one of the biggest transport companies in South Africa. And she says to me, what's your name? I tell her my name. Say, okay, that's all done. Let me put through the person that phoned you yesterday. He's a big manager of the company. And he says, good morning. Look, I would like to see if it's possible that you can come here next week for an interview. Because you went through your CV that you left here last 2 weeks ago, and I see you got all the qualifications that you need to fill up the position that you got for a workshop manager.
Thank you, Lord!
God is good, eh?
Amen. Amen. There we go. Ah, praise God. Come, Manuela.
Good evening, everybody. First of all, I must ask the Lord to take this fear of public speaking.
Must I cast that out of you now?
Yes. Okay, for those who don't know me, I joined this ministry about 7 years ago, I think 7, 8. And something happened. About 2 years ago, things started becoming very tight, and I went to see Rian privately a couple of times, and he told me that there's lies, there's deceit. I thought my life is perfect. The only thing that I had a problem with, I was with a lot of debt. And then I said, okay, and then I didn't want to hear that, but I thought, how am I going to do this? I can't do anything because until I deal with my debt, I cannot be free. And Rian said, no, you know, just leave it in God's hands. On the 21st of February, I came to church on Sunday. And when I went home, I went to an empty house. I was left with 2 cars to pay, a bond to pay. And I thought, now, how am I going to do it? But with the help of Rian, a phone call to Fatima, she's my pillar of strength. Through her faith, my faith has grown. And what I can say is, alone, the devil should have knocked and said, she's going to lose her house, she's going to lose the 2 cars, and she's going to lose it all. No, I didn't lose it all. Sometimes on the 24th now, on about the 3rd, because the debit orders come through different times of the month. And about the 5th, I said, now, until the 12th, that's when my bond goes through. I don't know how I'm going to do it. God has provided every single month. I didn't lose my house. I didn't lose my cars. I sold my one car because I had two and I only need one. And the house, you know, everything went through. The bonds were accepted and I sold it. It went through this week. So in 3 months, I'm free from the debt, from all the problems. So, amen. So I'm forever grateful.
When she came to us for prayer, the Lord spoke to her about the circumstances of life, and she took that as a shock. I can't do it. No, it's impossible. But the Lord already saw it, what was coming for her. And the Lord did it in a way that even myself, I am surprised that she survived, because she had to survive, because God is behind her. And yes, everything that the Lord says he was going to happen, he did happen. And when the Lord says that he provides, God provides.
Amen. 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 Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Well, bless God. We have only one provider, and your provider is not your boss. It's not the company that you work for. Your provider is the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. He knows what you need. He knows what you're going to need even before you know that you are going to need it. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah. How many of you know that the devil is a liar? You know, she's in her testimony, she said that, you know what, she shouldn't have made it. And that's how the devil works. He comes and sits on our shoulder. You know, like in the classic cartoons, this little devil comes and sits on your shoulder and he says to you, oh, you know what, when you weigh things up, the way things are, it's not going to work for you. You don't have enough income for your expenses, this and that, and wada, and it's not going to happen for you. Just give it up because you are doomed to failure. But she didn't fail, did she? And I want to tell you, some months, she probably can't even tell you how she made it. Can I tell you how she made it? God is good at multiplication. Now, I'm not talking 3 times 3 and 4 times 4. I'm sure God is very good at that as well. But I'm talking about, you remember when Jesus was confronted with 5,000 men, and all he had was like 2 loaves and 5 fish, or 5 fish and 2 loaves? Was it a problem for him? No. Because when the power of God comes upon what you have, God has a way of multiplying the little that you have to be more than what you need. How many of you feel that you have too little right now? Come, just now I need you to be honest. Don't sit here and be all like holier than thou. Oh, you know what? I don't have any problems. I'm actually quite fine. Because we know that you're lying. I mean, come on. Do you have more than what you need? Do you have more than what you need? Okay, well, then you're quite blessed. Then you're quite blessed. Who has just enough? Or who has too little? Come, wave at me. If you feel that you have too little. Okay, there's an easier way for me to do this. Who of you can do with a lot more?
Yeah.
Oh, well, there we go. Now you understand my question. Put yourself in Jesus' shoes. There is a multitude of people. It says 5,000 men. Every man had a wife. Every wife had a bunch of children. It's easy for there to have been 20,000 people and there's like a couple of fish and a couple of loaves of bread. And Jesus has to feed these people because the Bible says that they'd been with him for 3 days and 3 nights without eating. Some of you, if you don't eat in 3 hours, you think that your stomach thinks that your neck is being strangled or something. Am I right? These people were hungry. These people, they needed nourishment because they were deteriorating and Jesus had to make a plan. Guess how God made a plan? God simply used what was available and he multiplied it. So guess what? I want to say something to you. There is a spirit of multiplication that moves in the kingdom of God. And I have a feeling that tonight the spirit of multiplication is going to come and touch people's lives. God just dropped something in my spirit now, and I believe that tonight that's what we're going to pray for. I know that there are people here that are battling. Listen, yeah, don't be surprised if you don't get nothing from outside sources, but the little that you thought you had, just seems to go on and on and on. You remember the story of the prophet of God, I believe it was Elijah, that went to this woman and he said to her, bake me a cake. And the woman said, oh, but I can't bake you a cake because I've got only enough flour and oil for myself and my son. I'm going to bake it now and then we're going to lie down and we're going to die because there was famine in the land. Do you remember the story? And Elijah said to her something to this effect, woman, don't argue, just do what I say. And it was like a little bit abrupt and the woman was like, oh, okay, I'll do it. She took the last little bit of oil that she had. She took the last little bit of flour that she had and she baked him a cake. But before she did that, he said to her, go to all your neighbors, get as many containers as you can. And you start using that oil and you pour it from one container to the next, to the next, to the next. And do you know what happened? She never ran out of oil again. She never ran out of flour again. This is how God works. God doesn't have to have some big company bless you. God can bless you with the little you have. Okay, but Rion, you don't understand. I have 10 rand in the bank. So what? That woman had a couple of milliliters of oil. But God blessed her socks off. She had enough to feed everybody. I want to tell you something. We don't read that in the Bible, but people came from left, right, and center to eat at her house because she was the only one that could provide. And God used the little that she had. He touched it with the power of His Holy Spirit, and the little just kept giving and giving and giving and giving. Let me ask you a question. If God could do that at least 3 times in the Word of God, why would He stop doing it now? Come on. Have you read that the Word of God says that God is the same yesterday and today and forever? Look at your neighbor and say, my God is the same God. That still multiplies whatever I have. I will not lack. Now I want you to say something to your old adversary, the devil. I want you to say, devil, stop lying. I know the truth. God is my provider. I will not lack. Amen. Give the Lord a big hand. I want to tell you something you don't see in the spirit world, but if you could see in the spirit world, there were 2 demons here, the demon of lack and the demon of poverty. They just went, they don't like what just happened, yeah. Amen?
Amen?
Or was it you? No, it wasn't you. Who was here last week? Did you enjoy last week's message?
Yes.
Help me out. What did we speak on last week? Oh, we spoke about love. Now let's quickly stop there. You know, when we use the word love, unfortunately the world has hijacked that word and Hollywood has hijacked that word and that word has become synonymous with a lot of nonsense. I'm not talking about the Hollywood version of love. I'm talking about pure love, the love of God. You know, the Bible says God is love. If you want to know God, you must open your heart to love. And if you can't open your heart to love, then you cannot know God. Because God is love. And do you know what it was that motivated God to touch the 2 little loaves of bread and the fish? It was His love for His people. Do you know what it was that motivated God to touch that widow's bread and flour and oil? It was love, because God loves His children. Amen? Every time you see somebody healed in the scriptures, they were healed, yes, by the grace of God, yes, because God is capable of doing miracles. But you want to know what it really was that moved to bring healing into that person's life? It was love. It was the love of God manifesting through healing, manifesting through deliverance, manifesting through a miracle. But the thing that moves is love. Amen?
Amen.
So tonight, let's look at this. In this world, I'm pretty sure that if I have to ask you, let me actually ask you, what is your desire?
To be very successful.
To be very successful. There's no right or wrong answer here. So don't start. I see he said that and then he thought to himself, did I answer that correctly? No, it's fine. Your desire is to be successful. What's your name?
John,
what's your desire?
Just peace and happiness.
Peace and happiness. Good desire. What's your desire?
Restoration.
All right, whose desire is to have a nice flashy car? Come on, be honest. If it's your desire, it's your desire. All right. Whose desire is to one day have a nice, stable house, etc., etc.? Yes. Whose desire is to have a husband? Wendy, that's when you start jumping up and down. You too, there at the back. Oh, there we go. All right. You want grandchildren. Okay, let's talk about desire. If I say the word desire, there's a lot of things that we desire. Some people want a nice house. Some people want a nice car. Some people want a good, decent job. There's nothing wrong with that, and it's a good desire. And the Bible says God wants to grant you the desires of your heart. And He doesn't tell you what to desire. Your heart desires certain things. Some people just want stability. Some people want love. Some people want all sorts of stuff. So some desire fame, some fortune. Some desire a position, some desire possessions. Some desire a husband or a wife. Some desire to be accepted by people. The list is endless. But in truth, each of us has probably got a whole list of things that we desire. And probably because you desire it and you know God, you pray about these things as well. And I'm sure every now and then in your list of things to pray for, Lord, and I'm praying for that new position. Lord, I'm praying for promotion. Lord, I'm praying for the right person to come into my life. Lord, I'm praying for a new car. All of those things we bring before God. Yet, and this might shock you, but let me say to you that many of us will never ever get the things that we desire so badly. And if you think that I'm wrong, let me explain to you why I say that. And we find that in the book of James chapter 4, and I'm going to read to you from verse 3. James chapter 4 verse 3, when you ask, you do not receive, because you ask with the wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your own pleasures. You adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world is hatred towards God? Anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. Now that's a bit of a shocking scripture. But I want to show you a couple of things here that's very important for us to know. The first thing that I want you to notice is that God knows the motives of your heart when you ask Him for things. And when God sees that the motive of your heart is not pure, there is no way that God will grant you the desire of your heart. So your desire has to come from a right, pure motive. And if it's not coming from a right, pure motive, God sees that and the hand of God doesn't move to bring what you are praying and desiring into your life. And now, here is the greatest wrong motive. Being self-centered, thinking only of yourself, being interested only in your own pleasures. I'm not saying that that's the case in your life, but you know what? I've been around the block a couple of times and I know how people work. And a lot of people, the desires of their heart is for them to look good, to feel good. It's a selfish motive. It's not to bless anybody around them. It's simply for them to have something, for them to have pleasure, for their desire to be met. And unfortunately, this is very true about the generation that we are living in right now. And I'm sorry to say, but in a sense, we have become a very selfish people. How many politicians today are in it for the people? Do you believe that Jacob Zuma is in it for the people? No, I don't think so either. Do you believe that even 5% of our cabinet is in it for the people? Can I tell you what they're in it for? Nkandla 1, Nkandla 2, Nkandla 3. Nice big BMW, nice big Mercedes. House somewhere, brand new jet, etc., etc. You see, this is exactly what the Word of God speaks about. For your own selfish desires. Now, such a man should not think that he will receive anything from God. And I want to shock you. Most of what you and I are going to receive, we will not receive down here. Because a lot of the things that we're praying about is being held for us in what the Bible calls heavenly habitations. And I want to tell you something, and this is a message to our dear president. He should not think that he will receive nothing from God when he stands before him one day, because none of his desires were motivated from the heart of God, but they were motivated for his own selfish desires, for his own selfish pleasures. And anybody that operates that way, the scripture says, such a man or a woman should not think that they will receive anything from God. I want to tell you something. Most of us, When we get to heaven one day, because of our hearts and because of the way we are and because we want to honor God and we want to bless God, when you get to the pearly gates, there's going to be a big surprise for you. Because there's going to be this huge hangar full of things that has been set aside for you because of the life that you lived and the lifestyle that you carried. Because Scripture says that true riches are kept for us in heavenly places. So I want to say to you that maybe now and then you're really, really praying and you're really, really trusting God for something and you don't receive it. It's not that you don't receive it. It's just that right now you're not going to see it. But one day when you get to the other side, you will see how many things God has set aside for you. And can I tell you why it's a good thing for you to have it up there? Because up there it cannot rust. Up there the moths cannot get to it. Up there the devil cannot touch it. You know the flashy cars that some people drive? And I've got nothing against you if you drive a flashy car. I'm just using it as an illustration. Tomorrow some idiot skips the robot and he smashes you and there goes your flashy car. But what's up there for you cannot be touched. The devil cannot touch it. Jealous eyes cannot get their hands on it. Gossip, slander, backstabbing can't get to it. Because it's kept safe for you in heavenly places. All right. Companies close down so that corporations can make a couple of hundred rands more. Who cares about the people? The CEO can maybe get a nice bonus. Who cares about the people? The world is selfish and the world's motto has become every man for himself. And you know what? Who of you are in the business world? Do you see that there? Do the people around you care for you? Do they care about you? You see, here's the thing. This is what happens in the business world. Somebody has a problem with you. They send you an email. They CC the CEO. They CC the head of the corporation. They CC everybody on the list so that not only are you getting in trouble with them, but they want you to be in trouble with everybody so that they can look good. We have become a selfish, self-centered society. The world does not have sympathy. The world does not show mercy. The world does not have compassion. And we are warned, if you choose to be a friend of the world, by definition, you make yourself an enemy of God. And these are some very harsh words. But let me tell you something. This world is, unfortunately, full of enemies of God. The way of the world is the complete opposite of God's way. So let me show you an interesting scripture. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 verse 31 says, "But eagerly desire the greater spiritual gifts." Okay, we were speaking in the beginning about desire. And I asked you, what do you desire? And we put it out there. Some want cars and some want houses and some want positions and some want a marital partner. There's a lot of things that we can desire. Now, this is what the Bible says. Do you want to know one of the things that God expects you or highly suggests that you should desire? Listen carefully. But eagerly desire the greater spiritual gifts. God would rather want us to desire spiritual things than natural things. There's nothing wrong with wanting a new car. Because without that car, you can't get to work. And I understand that. But if you pray once for that new car, you should pray 20 times for the spiritual things that God wants to bless you with. Can I tell you why? Because the spiritual things mean a billion times more to God than that car that you're driving. You see, the car that you're driving, most of us, we can drive a car 3, 4, maybe 5 years. If you really, really push it, you can drive it for 10 years. It's going to fall apart. You're going to go to the place and say, "Oh, I want to fix the radiator. Oh, we don't make it anymore. It's out of stock." And eventually you're going to have to throw it away. But let's talk about love. Does love have an expiration date? No. Can you ever get to a situation where you go to God and you say to God, "Oh, I need more love. I need more hope. I need more joy. I need more peace." And he says, "Oh, sorry, it's sold out." No. Because there is no expiration date on the greater spiritual gifts. And the way to get the physical things that you need is through the spiritual things of God. And a lot of people don't realize that, and that's why they get nothing. In this world, we may desire cars, money, expensive clothes, fame, fortune, position, status, etc., etc. But God's desire for us is actually that we begin to desire the things that are important to Him. When you begin to desire the things that God says is important, then God takes a brand new look at your life. And He says, this one is beginning to see things the way they really are. Let's touch their life. Even though God knows we need material things, He doesn't want us spending all of our time and all of our effort chasing after material things. Matthew 6:33 says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all of these things, your car, your position, your house, your new set of tackies, all of these things will be added unto you as well." The things that Jesus is talking about here is the material things that we need: food, clothes, homes, cars, etc. But I want you to take a notice that all of these things, according to Jesus, will come to you by themselves if your focus is correct. When will these things come into your life? He says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and then all these things that we tell God all the time, I need this, I need that, it will just be given unto you." You know, there's a way that you can have all of those things without even bothering God about them. And that's when your motives are pure, your heart is right, and your focus is on the right things. Because then the floodgates of heaven begin to open for you, and these things just simply begin to appear in your life without you bugging God for them. If your focus is on God, you won't even have to pray about many of these things. They will fall into place by themselves. And if your focus is on the things themselves, however, you probably won't ever see any of them materialize in your life. 1 Corinthians 12:31 says, "But eagerly desire the greater spiritual gifts." Now here's one of the things God wants us all to desire. It's called spiritual gifts. And let me show you something else that is very important about spiritual gifts. And this is very important. And if you understand this, you will understand the heart of God. He says in the book of 1 Peter chapter 4 verse 10, "Each one should use whatever gift they have received to serve one another, faithfully administering God's grace in various forms." God says, "I want you to eagerly desire spiritual gifts." And then in another scripture it says, concerning spiritual gifts, "Each one should use the gifting that God has placed inside of them to serve others." The Old King James translation puts this scripture this way: "As each one has received the gift, minister therefore one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God." Did you hear that? As each one has received spiritual gifts, minister therefore one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. So do you see the purpose of the gifts? Let's see how many of you click that. What is the purpose of spiritual gifts? There you have it. The purpose of spiritual gifts is that we care for one another. Motivated by love, we minister to one another. In other words, we help one another. We bless one another. And guess when you start touching God's heart? Do you touch God's heart when you keep saying, "I want a new car, I want a new car, I want a new car"? Or do you touch God's heart when you lay hands on this person and you get involved in his life and you help him somehow through the gift God has put inside of you? Listen to the God that we serve. God is a giver. God gave, scripture says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life." God was moved by love to give his son to us. Jesus Christ chose to allow his body to hang on a cross, to give his life, to bring life to all of us. Amen? That's love. And when that love manifests itself in you and through you, immediately God looks at your life completely differently. So the purpose of the spiritual gifts are to serve one another. And this is the complete opposite of being selfish and self-centered. You know that scripture that we started off with? Spoke about people that desire things for the wrong reasons so that they can use it on themselves and look good, etc., etc., and they are selfish and they are self-centered. How do we keep from falling in that trap? It's easy not to fall in that trap when your focus is love. What moves you is love, and you do it for somebody else, not necessarily for yourself. Amen?
Amen.
Now, do you understand why God wants you to begin to desire the spiritual gifts of the Holy Spirit? Because when you begin to desire the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit begins to work through you, then the same Spirit that moved in God, the same Spirit that moved in His Son to bring salvation to this world, is also moving through you. In other words, you open yourself up to allow God to work through you to touch those around you. Then you become a blessing to others, and therefore God will bless you. Have you ever heard of what you sow, you will reap? If you allow God to sow healing through you, what will come for you?
Healing.
If you allow God to sow provision through you to somebody else, what will come for you? Provision. If you allow God to bless somebody with peace through the gift in you, what will come for you?
Peace.
And all the other things that you need will be added unto you. Amen? If your desire for the Holy Spirit's gifts are pure, it will release you from your worldliness and it will change your life radically, drastically, and forever. 1 Corinthians 12 verse 31 says, "But eagerly desire the greater spiritual gifts, and I will show you the most excellent way." So God wants us to desire to have, to use, and to experience the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And yet, even here, we are told that there is a more excellent way. I want to tell you something. The church is full of people who really do desire the greater gifts of God. Yet even so, the experience thereof is only a little drop in the bucket. Let me help you to understand this. Just because the Bible says desire the spiritual gifts doesn't mean that you're going to have a lot of spiritual gifts manifest in your life. Because again, God looks at the motive of your heart. And if the motive of your heart is not right, you will not receive what God says should be yours. You see, my friend, there is only one way for us to get from where we are now to the place that we begin to receive the true spiritual gifts of the Holy Spirit. The way is not knowledge about the gifts. You know, there's people out there, they've read every book on the Holy Spirit. They've read every book on the gifts of the Holy Spirit. But when it comes to allowing the gifts of the Holy Spirit to work through them, nothing actually happens. The way to receiving the true gifts of the Holy Spirit is not mind-blowing faith. There are people out there that might have the faith to say to this mountain, get up and walk. But when it comes to manifesting the gift of the Holy Spirit, they might have nothing. The way to receiving the gifts of the Holy Spirit is not holiness or faithfulness. All of these things are good in their own right, but none of them are the way to receiving the true gifts of the Holy Spirit. Here's the scripture we looked at last week. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 from verse 1. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but I have not love, I am a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and I can fathom all the mysteries and all the knowledge, and if I have the faith that can move mountains, but I have not love, then I am nothing. If I give all that I possess to the poor and I surrender my body to the flames, but I have not love, I have gained nothing. You see, men get excited about miracles, signs, wonders. We jump up and down. We shout hallelujah. We clap. We shout. We get excited. But God might not even be moved. Because God is not moved by those things. God is moved by love. It's the only thing that moves God. Men stand in awe over faith, piousness, sacrifice. Oh, this person hasn't eaten for 6 weeks because they are fasting. They're doing this, they're doing that. You see, you're not necessarily going to touch the heart of God that way. You might more easily touch the heart of God by being a good Samaritan and helping somebody with a problem because the motivation is love. My friend, I don't know if you're beginning to see the full picture yet, but let me help you to understand. You see, it really is all about love. If love is not your motive, what you do for God means nothing to God. I can raise the dead, but what if I do it for my own glory? Man will be impressed. The devil will have a field day, but God will not be moved. Love really does make the world go round. Love is the most excellent way, and love is the only thing that can touch the heart of God. If you do something in love, if you do anything in love, then you instantly have God's attention. Let me give you an example. Yeah, at the church, we can't all preach, am I right? If we have three people standing in front of you preaching at the same time, we're going to have like a Tower of Babel experience where nobody's going to learn nothing, everybody's going to be confused, and in the end the Bible says that we've learned nothing. So there can only be one person preaching at a time. Later on when we pray, probably there can only be one person praying. But now here's the thing that you have to understand. This person that is praying and this person that is preaching needs a cup of coffee every now and then. Hello? Love might make the world go round, but coffee keeps us going now and then. It's just the way it is. Now, there's somebody out there that has to make a cup of coffee. Now, I want to tell you something about making that cup of coffee. If you just make that cup of coffee because it's your job, you're going to get nothing from God. But if you make that cup of coffee because you love this ministry, because you love God, because you want to serve, because you want to bless, because you want to be useful, guess what? You're touching the heart of God. And you might touch the heart of God 10 times more than me praying for 100 people. Hello? You receive that. Yes, I know you do. If you make a cup of coffee, but you make it in love, you touch the heart of God. If you clean the church, or wash somebody's car, or push start somebody when they are broken down, or take your jumper leads and help them to get going, but your motivation to do that is love. Not because the oak put a 38 special to your head and said, listen, you make a plan and help me out, because you're going to get nothing for that. What am I trying to tell you? I'm trying to tell you that what God wants from us, and I said this last week, do you know what the biggest problem is in this world? People have forgotten how to love. Love has been stolen by the enemy. People would rather gossip about one another. People would rather slander one another. People would rather backstab one another. Are you in business? Doesn't it? You don't have to answer. It's a rhetorical question. But if you are in business, can I tell you how not to further your business? Don't pray against the person that is your competitor, because that will rise the anger of God against you. Start blessing your competitors in love. Ask God to bless them, and God will probably bless you 10 times more than them. Because you see, if your motives are love, then God will work in your life. And God will bless your socks off. But you see, the world tells us, work against them. Tell everybody not to go there. Slander their name in the industry. I know we were talking earlier about people slandering our businesses and slandering our name. Let me tell you something. People that work that way incur the wrath of God. And let me tell you something. The judgment of God is very close to coming after the wrath of God has been aroused when people work that way. You want to go forward? Bless them. In fact, the Bible says, bless them that curse you. Bless and do not curse. For therefore you are called, that by it you might inherit a blessing. What God wants to see in us is love. What God wants to see in us is a heart motivated by love to get involved and to do things for people. You know, when you carry a chair for somebody and put it down, let's say even just in this ministry, some lady is feeling a bit weak and she needs a chair. Don't let it be somebody's eyes that like, get the chair. In your heart, cultivate a heart of love. And that love will motivate you to get something for her, to do something for her. And you never know what blessing will come upon your path in that week because love manifested through you. Let me tell you something about love. The Bible says true love casts out all fear. Do you know what the devil fears above everything else? Look at your neighbor and say, Satan fears love above all else. Can I tell you why there's so much hatred in this world? Can I tell you why there's so much bitterness in this world? Can I tell you why there's so much jealousy, envy, rage, anger, frustration in this world? Because it's Satan's way of getting us away from love and focused on rubbish. If you want to get rid of all the anger in your heart, if you want to get rid of all the bitterness in your heart, the antidote for all of that stuff is called love. Let me tell you something. The only place to get love is from God. There's no man or woman that's going to give you that love. It comes from God. Yes, He can administer it through people. But God is love, and love originates from Him. Nowhere else. If you choose to love a sinner, even though they really don't deserve it, you are doing something godly, and you are touching the heart of God. So why is this so? 1 John 4 verse 8 says, whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. I'm going to repeat that. Please listen. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. Whoever does not love does not know God. Have you ever wondered why our generation is so far away from God? Well, I'm going to ask you this question. How much love does this generation have in their hearts for one another? Yeah, I'm sorry, but we would rather walk over the guy than help the guy. We would rather kick him when he's down than help him back up. We have become a loveless generation. And let me tell you something, the only one that gets anything from that is Satan. Few people will do something for love. You know what? You ask somebody, please do this and that, what's in it for me? Yeah, you see, that's the problem. You shouldn't do something because there's something in it for you. You should do it because of the love in your heart for the situation or the person. And whatever you do for others, do it as you are doing it for God. And then you can never come short. And you will always bless God. Because God is love. So where do I get this love, and how does this love work? 1 Corinthians 13 verse 4 and onwards. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not rejoice in evil, but rejoices in the truth. It always protects. It always trusts. It always hopes. It always perseveres. Let's look at those one by one. Love is patient. Is there anybody in this place that battles with impatience? Come, be honest. Can I tell you what you need? You need love. Oh, but Rian, how can you say that? Because when you have love, one of the benefits that comes with it is patience. Look at your neighbor and say, I need more love. Love is patient. Love is kind. You know, now and then, everybody, because the world that we live in is ugly. Come on, have you figured that out yet? The world we live in is ugly. You go, you want to get a cell phone contract, and the people give you a hard time. You go, you want to fill up your car, there's some problem somewhere, they give you a hard time. You know what? Kindness is something that's getting more and more difficult to find. Can I tell you why we can't find kindness anymore? Because love is not in the hearts of people. How do we fix that? Well, we can't do anything about that guy, but we can do something about myself. And you know what? Maybe, just maybe, when that ugly person is confronted with somebody full of love, that might change their life forever. What if somebody goes off on you, just bursts a bomb on you, and instead of retaliating and freaking out, love comes through you, because true love conquers. True love conquers. The person that's doing that to you, there's some demon in them. But can I tell you what demons cannot block off, fight off, and they have no answer for? What is it? It's love. What if instead of he's blowing up at me, so I blow up back at him, what if love comes through me? Can I tell you what? That demon will be speechless. Because demons have no answer for love. When Jesus manifested his love, demons came screaming out of people. Scripture says, love is patient, love is kind. Who of you needs some kindness? What do you really need? When you have the love of God, kindness will come by itself. It does not envy. Ooh, stop the bus. You know what? I can preach on jealousy and envy for the next 52 weeks. Because that's how big a problem it is. Let me help you to understand something. I'm not preaching on that tonight, but it's a huge problem. And for some reason, people just can't seem to get over this. It doesn't help you to be jealous of what somebody else has, to be envious of their position or their title or the car that they drive or the wife that they have or the boyfriend that they have or the money that they have in the bank or the gifting that God has put inside of them or the abilities that God has blessed them with. Can I tell you why? Because as long as you look at what somebody else has, you will never see what God has given you. Because what God has given you is in front of you. But as long as you look to the side or to that side or behind or there across the border somewhere, you will never see what God has for you and you will never be able to take it and make it your own. Okay, so somebody has a beautiful voice. Get over it. You might never have a beautiful voice, but you might have a razor sharp brain. And when you stop looking at the voice of the other person, you might discover what God has put inside of you. Amen? The Bible says, we all have received gifts, but all our gifts are different. From a spiritual point of view, some are called to be prophets, some are called to be evangelists, some are called to be teachers. The prophet cannot be envious of the teacher because it's the Spirit of God in the teacher that gives him the ability. Listen, yeah, whatever I have in me is not me, it's the grace of God. And when you stop looking at what I have and you start looking at what you have, you will discover you have a lot more than me. But that's why some people will never have nothing. Because instead of looking at themselves, they always look at everybody else. And that's a trick of the devil. Let me tell you something. When you find something talking to you constantly, oh, look at this one's wife. Oh, look at that one's car. Oh, look at this one's house. Oh, this one's got such nice ornaments in their house. That's a trick of the devil to stop you from receiving what is truly yours. You will never have nothing. And let me say this to you. If you're sitting here and you have a problem with that, you have a lack of love. Love does not boast. Nobody likes a bragger, do they? Love does not boast. Love is not proud. Now we have to quickly just talk about pride. Pride is not a good thing. There are different types of pride. There is like, oh, look at me, I got a nice new suit, you know. But then there's also a different kind of pride. It's like when somebody wants to help you, it's like, oh, no, I'm all right, I'm fine. Everybody knows you're not fine, but you're like, oh, I'm okay. What is that called? It's called pride. I don't care whether you have the puffed up pride or whether you have the spiritual pride or whether you're just stubborn pride, I don't care. Pride is not a good thing. Now, if you have a problem with pride, what do you need?
Love.
You need love.
All I need is love.
All I need is love. Da, 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 da. All we need is love. Love is not rude. Listen here. Have you ever gone to do shopping? Oh my goodness, let's scrap that one. Who's ever been to the council? Or you had to go and do your car's paperwork? Oh my word, I want to tell you something. We need to pray for that place because rudeness seems to emanate from that place like you cannot believe. Love is not rude. Today, society has become rude. People have no time for one another. You know, when you're standing there with your cup of coffee, 10 people will walk into you, not one will say sorry, and by the time they've finished, your coffee is all on the floor. People are rude. People don't care anymore. Oh, but Rian, why should I care if they don't? Because you're different. God called you to be different. Don't come to me with that analogy, with that reasoning, because it's ridiculous. Because everybody jumps in the fire, we all have to jump in the fire. No. God called you to be different. God called you to be a light shining in a dark world. Nobody said it was going to be easy, but God said He would be with you. How do we change other people? We don't change other people, we change ourselves. And through the change in us, other people will begin to change. Every one of you has the potential to bring change into people's lives. The first change that needs to touch you is called love. I want to tell you something. When the love of God touches you, there are so many things around you that is going to begin to change. It is shocking. The problem is we always want the other person to change. God doesn't want the other person to change. He wants you to change. Right now, God is working with you, not the other person. Oh, but Rian, you don't understand. No, I don't understand, and I never will, but I understand the Word of God. And the Word of God says when you change, through you, God can touch the people around you. The Bible says we have to be the salt of this earth. You know what salt does? Salt adds flavor. Salt adds spice. Have you ever had whatever? Take your favorite dish. What's your favorite dish, Tony? Bacalhau. From what I understand, that's fish. All right, codfish. Okay, his favorite dish is codfish. Does it taste the same if you don't spice it? It comes spicy already. Then. Okay, so we couldn't. That's actually a good example. You couldn't even make bacalhau if you didn't salt it. Am I right? Because it's sort of. Yes, it's salted fish. It's preserved by salt. Am I correct? So without the salt, we couldn't call it bacalhau. We would call it fraught fish. There we go. There we go. Now here's the thing. Just like the salt would add the spice to his bacalhau so that his taste buds recognize it and like it, so something in us can add spice to the life of people around us, and people want to be with us. People, you know what? There are certain people in this world. They have something with them. It's difficult to define. You can't put your finger on it. But there's something, they radiate something that other people are attracted to like moths to a flame. Can I tell you why? Because they are starting to be the salt and the light of this earth. Because when they come into the life of that person, they add flavor. The person, I don't know what it is about you, but I like to be around you. There is something about you that touches my life. I feel better about myself when I'm with you. What has that person got? Okay, you can call it salt. I'll just call it love. Amen. Amen. Okay, love is not rude. Love is not self-seeking. Here's the bottom line. When you are full of love, the first question is not what can I do for myself? The first question is what can I do for those around me? That was what motivated Jesus to give his life on that cross. He didn't come to do it for himself. He came to do it for you and he came to do it for me. And when you have love, that's how you start looking at life. Love is not easily angered. Let's talk about that. The way society is today, the way we are today, we can lose it at the drop of a pin. Is it right? No. What's the problem when your anger triggers for nothing? You have a lack of what? You have a lack of love. How do we fix that? How do we get rid of that? There is only one way. Love is not easily angered. If you find yourself easily angered, you need more love. Love. Amen. Love. Love keeps no... What was it? What was it? Oh. Did your wife ask whether you heard? Let's ask your wife the question, did you hear? Yeah, there we go. There we go. Of course you do. And he does too. Look at your neighbor and say, I need more love. All right. We've been joking around a bit, but let's quickly get back to something serious. I want to ask you a question. Who of you believe God is talking to you tonight? Who of you realize that what you see in your life, you are manifesting a lack of love? Come on, be honest. Thank you. Thank you. Listen to this. Love keeps no record of wrongs. Oh my goodness. Ou koeie in die sloot. Skeletons in the closet. When you truly love, you let the bygones be bygones. You let the past be the past. You put it down and you don't look at it again and you move on. The devil doesn't want us to let go of anything. He will remind you of the past. You must tell him, shut up and footsack and go. Because what's done is done. What's over is over. What's finished is finished. There is only one way to go forward, and that's to let the past be the past. Because your future is before you and your past is behind you. And when you look towards the past, you will move backwards, not go forwards. Love does not rejoice in evil, but rejoices in the truth. I'm not even going to say anything about that. It's self-explanatory. Love always protects. It always trusts. It always hopes. It always perseveres. Who of you battle to go forward? In other words, you battle to persevere. I want you to listen carefully. The devil's going to put obstacles in your way. And he's going to say to you, oh, you can't do this. You can't do that. It's not going to work. God isn't there for you. Just give up. How many of you battle sometimes? Come on, be honest. Come on, it happens to us all. Love always perseveres. How do you manage to keep going even when things are tough? If you have enough love, you're not going to battle anymore. Now listen to this. Love never fails. Amen. I can't sum it up better than that. Look at your neighbor and say, I just learned something. That the devil didn't want me to know. Love never fails. Amen. I agree with you. I want to actually say something. Every person alive right now needs a lot of love. Because let's not mince words. We are living in the end of the age where people will become lovers of themselves, spiteful, hurtful, abusive, proud, lovers of evil, not lovers of good, haters of good. They won't listen to their parents, etc., etc. We all know what the scripture says will happen in these days. Look at me, please, everybody. Look at me. The age that God called you to live in is one of the most difficult ages ever. And God knew when he called you to live in this age that he already put everything inside of you that you need to not only live in this age but make a success of your life and for his glory. But without love, you can't do it. Now there's two things, or there's a couple of things that I just want to end off on. Do you know what one of the worst problems is that people battle with? Is rejection. Because we were rejected when we were a child by our parents. You know, a lot of you know, you can testify that your mom and dad weren't happy when they found out that they were pregnant with you. Some of you, your parents tried to abort you or thought of abortion. That opens you up to a spirit of rejection. And the spirit of rejection, one of his main purposes is to fight against the love that is inside of you. The spirit of rejection, love brings acceptance. Rejection makes you feel like an outcast. People that battle with rejection battle to receive love, and sometimes they battle to give love. That's something that God has to help you to overcome. The spirit of rejection is a love thief. He tries to rob you of the love of God. He tries to rob you of the love of the people around you. And you need to put your foot down and tell him to footsack. Because you don't need him. Listen to me. Nobody needs that spirit. Nobody wants that spirit. And it's time for him to go. And another thing that causes us to battle to experience this is hurt. When you feel very hurt, you, even though love is around you, sometimes you don't feel it. Because the hurt is the only thing that you feel. It's time for that to go. And it's time for the love of God to manifest. Amen? Amen. How many of you have been betrayed by somebody? It's time to forgive. And let bygones be bygones. Amen? Amen. How many of you have been hurt by somebody? It's time to forgive. Let bygones be bygones. Put it under your feet. Start looking forward. Because in your future is your greatest blessings. You have not seen your greatest blessings yet. They are still waiting for you. The enemy might tell you that it's over. Let me tell you something, it's never over. Because God has a plan for your life. Who needs more love? I'm going to ask again. Who needs more love? Yeah. I like that. Did God speak to you tonight? Give the Lord a big hand.